You're listening to the Habitology Podcast with Melanie White, and today I speak with executive communication coach Laurie Schloff, who believes there is a truly deep relationship between communication and health and wellness. Laurie's work is helping professionals to achieve outstanding relationships and results through communication. She's written three amazing books, and she is a recognized expert for helping clients to build presentation skills, confidence with conference speaking, leadership communication, overcoming fear of speaking, and many other things. I hope you really enjoy this episode. I'm really happy to be talking with you today, Laurie. Thanks so much for giving up some time to have a chat.
I feel honored. I'm so excited to talk to you, and I'm here in Florida, USA.
It must be beautiful there.
It's very beautiful, but the truth is people try to escape Florida in the summer because it gets brutally hot, and it also is hurricane season. So I don't know, what's the worst weather you folks have?
Well, we get between 40 and 50 degrees Celsius sometimes, which I think is over 100 for you. And depending on where you are in Australia, in the inland areas in the north, and we get tropical rain and cyclones.
Oh, cyclones. You know, I'd like a few of those. I haven't experienced that.
They don't sound as bad as hurricanes.
Yeah, no, it can be some devastation in all seriousness. It can be pretty scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. We're here to talk about you today, and I'm really keen for you to tell us a bit about, firstly, what you do. What's your title, and what sort of work do you do at the moment, Laurie?
Sure. Well, my field is a bit small, so not everyone's heard of it. It's called executive communication coaching. And what that means is people in my field are equipped with the tools and the coaching know-how to help people to use communication as a tool for personal and professional success and results. So to make it a little more concrete, in the past month, I've helped people with their presentation to the Food and Drug Administration in order to get their product approved. I've helped people who have to give a keynote address. I am often asked to help people who have to run a meeting or who want to participate better in meetings. So anything that has to do with human communication, in my case, mostly the verbal part of things, Melanie, that's what I get excited about. And what's so rewarding is I can meet someone on Monday and they could be struggling. And this just actually happened to me, a woman who was presenting at a show in the jewelry industry. She was bereft. She was upset. She was almost crying. And then with the coaching experience and helping her to get on track, she ended up giving a really great talk at a conference.
Wow, that's a quick result.
It is. Sometimes you can get some quick results. So in terms, do people often use the term executive presence in your world? We kind of hear it a lot here. Executive presence, the idea of how do you come across as a leader? How do you come across in a way that helps you to gain the morale and success of your team at the same time you're recognized for your leadership skills?
Yeah, it makes sense. I haven't heard that term, but it does make sense. And so, Laurie, then when people come to you, what are some of the things that they're struggling about? Is it finding the right words? Is it their own confidence and fears? I'm curious to know more about that.
Yeah, when people come to a communication coach, it could be for something that's sort of lifelong. For example, we all know that people are scared speaking in groups. So it could be to overcome their fear of speaking, which, by the way, everyone, it is possible to do that. It's one of the few things we know that we can eventually control. So that's one thing. They might have a specific meeting or a conference. You may have heard of the company Michelin. They make tires, et cetera. I just coached people who had to speak at a big conference. These are great leaders, but they were used to working with people one-on-one or in groups. So having to speak at a conference was very different for them. And then there might be some specialized areas. For example, I work with a lot of non-native people who, for some reason, can't be understood. Like your dialect, your accent to American ears is so beautiful, Melanie. A lot of people from various countries may have trouble being understood. So my background is very deep in speech. I graduated with a degree in speech pathology. That's what the degree is called here. And because your topic is often related to wellness, I think there's a huge correlation between communication abilities and overall wellness.
Could you speak a little bit more to that? What do you mean by that?
I feel that people who are aware of their communication, not perfect, but aware of how they're coming across, how they're impacting others, analyzing what would help the other person feel good, are generally going to have a sense of well-being. These are the people who can sleep well at night because they know they've interacted at work and in their family, and it's probably harder in your family to control yourself, with a sense of comfort, a certain degree of confidence, and saying the right thing at the right time. And I just want to emphasize to listeners, no one's perfect, but we can advance our skills. We can go outside our comfort zone and add to our toolbox. We want to be aware of, in terms of how we come across, what we say, how we sound. I don't sound so hot right now because I had a cold. And third, how we look, our nonverbal communication.
Yeah, there's quite a lot to it.
There is a lot to it. And, you know, someone said to me, aren't people sort of born this way? Well, there are a certain percentage of people who are gifted at communication, but most of us have to work at it. Most of us do. 98.5% of the population needs to build their toolbox, to study communication, to realize their strengths and weaknesses. So, for example, a person in my field maybe like speaking a lot, but they're not as good at listening. Then there's the people who describe themselves as introverts. They may need to speak up more so people can benefit from what they have to say.
It totally makes sense to me. And as you were talking about wellness, I was immediately taken back to a previous career where I might be lying awake at night worrying about what I was going to be talking about at tomorrow's meeting, not because I was nervous, but because another person was combative. So I was thinking of how could I respond to that? And it would keep me awake at night. How can I communicate clearly and in a way that we move past these challenges instead of ending up in an argument?
I think you're bringing up a good point, which is, and often people's day is ruined by the impact someone else has on them. Yeah. And I think one of the things for us all to work on is to be able to objectively see that someone else may have a problem and it's not our problem. So I guess I'd come back to you, Melanie, and say, so how did you deal with it? Did you learn that, you know, it wasn't personal and somehow move the discussion ahead?
I think eventually I did, but I had to exhaust myself with rehearsing different versions of the conversation, which was really interesting. And this was part of having a company with a team and knowing that that conversation would affect the entire team. So it felt like a big juggle, and perhaps I would have really used your help 20 years ago with this.
But what I like about what you're saying, I pick up a lot of things. One is you strategize. So you took it from, oh my God, I'm such a wreck, to your head. You took it from your gut to your head. Mm. Then what also interests me, and you were very, very young at the time, is you were very aware that you needed to be a model, a role model for others. Mm. And a lot of leaders do need to keep that more in mind, that the way they come across sets the tone, sets the culture. Have you found that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, becoming a leader for me at that age meant that I had to change my behavior. I had to become a different person. And it was kind of the culture at the time that everyone would joke about other people in the team. And I thought, I can't do that. That's not professional. I can't. Do you know what I mean? There's a line you have to draw as a leader that you You can't act in a way that is potentially hurtful, harmful to anybody else, or could be taken the wrong way.
You know, we will remember criticism given to us in the wrong way. Yet, and the research, there's more and more research on this. When we hear something positive, when we're valued, when someone expresses gratitude, positive hormones are released. Now, you know, you probably already know this, but not only in the person receiving, but in the person giving. Mm-hmm. And I think we can relate to this. I find I feel so good if I make someone else feel good. What about you?
I agree. And Laurie, I'm picking up that part of your method in working with people is to help them to take the onus off themselves and to put it on creating joy in other people.
Yes, I certainly always say to clients, what is the impact on the person listening? How do you want to come across? In fact, there's something I do, which your listeners can do, called style words. Come up with two words, and I'm talking pretty much in the business sense, two words that you'd like people to use after they've interacted with you. Mm. So they, Melanie is blank and blank, and of course we want them to be good. So here's a hint. You can pick one that's like more logical, like knowledgeable or expert, and then one that's more relational, like approachable or friendly. And actually, again, the research in our field indicates that being viewed as competent in something and also approachable, that's a great combination. That's a winning combination.
Competent and approachable, they sound like great words. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a lot of folks who choose those. A lot of folks choose the words confident. Some folks choose the word, if they've earned it, expert. You know, we've been in the field a long time. And then your goal is to live up to your style word. So let's say you're having a bad day, but your style word is approachable. You know, you somehow need to change your headset.
Yeah, you have to do something to get in the right frame of mind to be able to show up in that way. Yeah, yeah. Who have been some of your favorite clients, Laurie, that you've worked with?
Oh, my goodness. Gosh, I recently worked with a whole bunch of folks in IT. Now, some professions get a stereotype, like technology people are.
I've got one, as you say it.
You know, and accountants. You know something? My IT clients and accountant clients actually have a very good sense of humor. But anyway, they do get in the weeds. So this was a very comprehensive program for a healthcare company, where it was during COVID. So they had me record different topics, like how to stay on track, how to have the right level of detail, how to engage people in a virtual meeting. So there was a virtual recorded part. Then they all got together virtually to practice the skills. For example, if they're long-winded, they had to practice giving a message to a client in 30 seconds. And by now, after all these years, I have a good sense of 30 seconds, 1 minute, but most people don't. They don't know when 2 minutes is up or 1 minute is up. And then I had the wonderful opportunity of also working with people one-on-one. And this is what I love, Melanie, and you can maybe relate to this. I'll look forward to learning about you. I love my group stuff, but I also like the one-on-one because I can do a very deep dive. You know, what are your strengths? What are the things that you'd like to work on? And that way it's a little bit more customized.
Yeah, I can see that. And definitely with the coaching that we do in health and wellness, we're focused on positive psychology and looking for strengths and how to leverage those strengths. So there's a lot of parallels there.
Yeah, I try to do that. I'm working now with a physician. This actually is another common thing. Someone who's a researcher or a scientist who goes into business and they feel like it's a different world. And the level of detail expected when they report up is very different. Like no one cares about, you know, the depth of the population you're studying. We care about the results. And frankly, if it's going to be good for our business. So it's a different headset. But I really like helping people to sort of reframe what they're doing. they know it's something they'd like doing, but they don't know how to frame it.
That's a really good point, because when I left science, I was speaking dry jargon, and that's how the industry works, because we were reporting factually. And then I had to flip that 180 and speak emotionally, which was really uncomfortable for me at the time, because I was quite reserved with my feelings, but also the fact that I had used totally different language and a lot of jargon and Latin names for plants and animals and that sort of thing, and technical terms around the industry I was in, suddenly to have to have a formula to write a spiel or to engage people emotionally was really tough. And I found myself writing out textbooks and thinking, no, it's not a textbook, as in what the start of a textbook would look like. But I thought, no, I actually have to have something that engages people. I have a question, I have a this or a that. And speaking to them as if we're in the same room together, it felt really strange.
So how did it go? After a while, did you experience success? Number two, did it start to seem more natural?
It did, but I was trying to do it on my own, and it took me some time I'd read what I wrote. And my husband is a very good writer, and his sister is an author. And he said to me that a great tip is to read something out aloud with some gusto.
Okay, now you're getting into like technique, which is interesting. I wonder if there is a connection between someone who expresses enthusiasm, because it's sort of contagious, and wellness. It's certainly one of the things I coach most of my clients on, is exactly what you're saying. And the actual technique is called vocal variety, that one word in every sentence has to jump out. So for example, I could say this is cold water, but if I say this is cold water, it's much more compelling. So the Absolutely. Word jumps out with pitch and volume. And that's the way we judge whether someone is enthusiastic.
That's a great tip. And it's very interesting, because recently I recorded a video with two other people. We each did a little 30-second or minute, and to put together for a festival we're going to, a business festival. And mine was first, and I thought, oh, that was okay. And then I saw the next two speakers who have actually done some training and went, oh, wow, theirs really pops out. And you can hear that enthusiasm. And I thought, I wonder what's missing in mine. But I think you've just captured it. It's that different level of energy and engagement and enthusiasm with that variety of the tone in the words.
I love the word pop. Pops out. Now, I think I really want your listeners to know, you can have sort of an out there, like I'm from New Jersey, close to New York, an out there style and be good, but you can also have a calm, quiet style and be good. Mm. You know, so there's room for a lot of different kinds of styles.
Yeah. Laurie, how do you work with people if someone wants to engage you as a client, for them to be your client? How many sessions do you normally do with them, or what does that look like?
Sure. Oh, thank you so much for asking me about that. So usually people contact me through email or text. I love text. I don't know if from your part of the world it's easy to text. And we usually do an introductory call, which is complimentary, just to see, you know, if it's a good fit in terms of what I can offer. And then the first session is an assessment. And I'm kind of structured. I like to come up with goals. So we write out a goal plan and we go from there.
Okay. And so there's not a fixed number of sessions. You work it out as you go along.
You know, after the first session, I can know better. But I would say that I think that's a question I can answer in general, that the average client might get involved in 8 to 10 hours over time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and a lot of clients, you know, they're just always dedicated to improving. So I'll always hear from, I just heard from people I hadn't heard from in half a year, and something's coming up for them. So it's kind of business where people hopefully keep you in mind if an important event is coming up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I know a lot of people who are starting businesses and afraid to put themselves out there or talk about themselves or whatever other expectation they have. And they're thinking, oh, could I actually coach a group? Could I stand up and do a presentation? There are a lot of people with thinking those things and wondering, what are my options for that and how do I get started? But, you know, even the politicians have their media people who write their speeches, who give them their blurbs.
That's very important to get across, is if you feel you're not so hot, most people aren't. The people who you see who are really great, I'm telling you, they spend hours. It's very rare to find someone who, you know, wakes up and they're fantastic. So it's a skill that takes a huge commitment of time if you want to be outstanding. But even if it's not that important to you, you can always go to the next level.
That was so disappointing to me, because I thought I could just go and do a presentation without rehearsing.
Fortunately, only like 0.5% of the population is gifted, like in math or science and verbalization. Not that many people are speaking when they're 3 months old, but those people usually have good potential. it's very rewarding. I think talking about wellness and communication is a fascinating topic, because I truly, truly feel that communicating in the most effective way in all your relationships, whether they're very close and intimate, or you're speaking to a group of 200 people, there's so much gratification, mutual gratification, that leads to really profound feelings of well-being.
Yeah, it makes me think of the work of Barbara Fredrickson. Have you seen her work?
No, share please.
She's written a book called Positivity, and she's done some study into the fact that her formula is a 3-to-1 ratio. So for every negative emotion that you experience in a day, you need 3 positives to outweigh it, which really ties into what you're talking about.
And I think leaders and parents have to be aware of this. It has to be conscious. You don't want your life to be scripted, but you do want to be aware.
And I wonder if, and I'd love your opinion on this, going into something feeling prepared helps you to be more confident, which helps you to feel calmer, more relaxed, less anxious.
Yeah, I mean, because I knew we'd be conversational, but still, I have my little book with notes. So here's something that benefits 95% of my clients. Mind, you think of what you might say in the situation. Paper, mouth. Generally, adults, it doesn't have to be paper, it could be your computer, your device.
Or my post-it note.
Exactly. So the people who just wing it, okay, again, a certain percentage of them are going to be fine. But coaches always get nervous when someone is not prepared. And we also don't have that much sympathy. Someone goes into an important meeting and says it didn't go well and didn't prepare, well,
that's on you, yeah.
It's not the best strategy. And I'll, you know, humorously, Melanie, there's people who are literally the opposite, that they will prepare months and months before. So, you know, it goes all sorts of ways.
Yeah, I know those people.
I'm more towards the other side. This is the beginning of my career. I was really buttoned up.
I know that we're nearly at the end of the session, but I would love to ask you a couple more questions, if that's okay.
Sure, of course.
Firstly, what got you into even becoming a speech? You did speech therapy, did you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was the kind of kid who felt that my major talent was sort of out there. And I liked being in front of people, and I liked helping people. That was part of my family values, you know, especially from my mother. And I also was kind of a geek in terms of knowledge, and I loved learning about psychology and communication. So put those all together, and I went into speech pathology, worked with people who had issues and even preschoolers. And then as I got more mature, I became more interested in business. And I truly do love working with motivated adults the best.
Yeah, and you've worked with some really big names.
Yes. So Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. I just did a big program with Michelin, the tire people. And you know, I'm proud of my career. I takes a lot of hours, you know, especially at the beginning.
Yeah. And you've written a few books as well.
Yes. So my books now by this time are classics. Smart Speaking, which I always joke, Melanie, the opposite is stupid speaking. That would be the secret if I ever wrote. And then the second one was about male-female communication called He and She Talk. And then my third book is actually a children's book dedicated to preventing gun violence. But it's a children's book. It's not about guns, but it's dedicated to that cause.
Mm. I would love to put the links to your books and have your contact details in the show notes. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, especially the nonprofit one for the Sandy Hook Promise, which is where those 20 little kids were killed in 2014.
Yeah, I understand. Laurie, I guess the last thing I'd like to ask is, do you have any, we've talked about a few different tips that you've given today, but is there any one thing that you think is really important for people to know if they want to become a confident communicator and a clear speaker?
You know, take stock of yourself. You know, what went well in my communication today? How did that meeting go? What went well? And my bravest clients seek feedback from trusted others. How did that go? How can I improve? Especially if you're new in your career. I mean, I heard hurtful comments, not in a hurtful way. No one meant it to be hurtful. But those kinds of critical comments can really help you long term. And then my second tip is step outside your comfort zone. Think of one thing. I mean, if you're nervous speaking to two people, you don't have to speak to 100, yeah. But see if you can get on the agenda at a meeting where there's 8 people. Mm-hmm. Step slightly outside your comfort zone. Preparation, not desperation as well.
Oh, I love that. Preparation, not desperation. I was speaking to someone the other day who was talking about being terrified of speaking to people and use that word. And I just said, what would it like to not be terrified? How would that impact your business? So it was, she, through asking her about that, she realized that she really needed to do something about her.
Yes. And that is, I'm not going to say it's an overnight thing, but you could reassure that person that with the right kind of help, we work the 3 C's, helping them to think more confidently, to get more physically comfortable, and then to 3rd C is to connect more with the audience. She's in her own frame behind a wall. Yeah. So we need to have her allow herself to come out and engage more.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you so much for your time today, Laurie. We really enjoyed having you on the podcast, and I hope this has been valuable for everyone listening.
Thanks, everybody. Keep communicating for your wellness.
Bye.